Welcome to the Small Business Big Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Zarikor. This podcast is loaded with raw stories from real people running successful businesses with heart to encourage and inspire you along your journey. We will focus on the heart behind the business, aka you, the business owner, by sharing their heart, their story, and the passion behind why they started in the first place. As a business owner myself, I'm here to remind you that in the midst of the organized chaos that comes with running a business, good things do indeed happen to good people. My goal and heart for this podcast is that you will walk away with lessons learned from people who have walked a similar journey for the inspiration to keep going. Chase that big, scary dream. Are you ready? Let's do this. Oh my goodness, I am so excited to introduce you to our guest today. As entrepreneurs, you and I both understand just the roller coaster it is of running a business. And if you're like me, you know how easy it is to get caught up in the hustle and lose yourself and your sanity in the process. For some of us, the struggle might be just finding the courage to hustle at all. So how do we really know when we're operating within our true calling? Where do we find the courage to step into that calling? How do we discover and rediscover the why behind our purpose? What do we do to make sure, I'm clapping over here, that our hearts are thriving as much as our businesses are? Those are some heavy questions, and there is only one person I can think who can truly honor the weight of these questions, and I am overjoyed to introduce you to her. Please meet my dearest friend, Laura Lee. Laura is a certified master-level transformational life coach who leads through her writing, speaking, group programs, and retreats for women. Her greatest joy and purpose is to help women uncover and reclaim what they are being called to do. And you'll see real quick from this chat that she is a natural empowerer of others. Today, Laura shares so many beautiful truths and nuggets of wisdom. So shout out to all my note takers. You guys are going to love this episode. We chat about simplifying the heart behind your business and how it is so much about showing up in your natural gifts. We discuss the power of letting go and holding things too tightly. Laura shares her journey about discovering her purpose and how she overcame that fear of imposter syndrome. I mean, this interview is just packed with goodness, and I hope that you as a listener can feel a giant breath of fresh air. I loved how Laura connects her heart with the hustle throughout our entire time together and gave us all permission to show up as ourselves in every area of our lives. If you take nothing from this episode, please take the permission slip. I can't wait to hear all of the rest of the truth bombs that she comes at us with this episode. So let's get into it. Here is my chat with Laura Lee. The thing that I'm most excited to hear about is your group program. And considering you just got off a call with your group, I would love to hear what's going on with that.
Oh, yeah. So I just launched the 9-month group program, Soul Sanctuary, Reclaiming Divine Feminine Courage. And it's a 9-month transformative deep dive for women. And this is the first launch of that program. And it is so exciting because it's like taking everything I've learned and experienced and worked with clients on and just putting it all in one beautiful, powerful package. You know, I would coach clients on creating their business, getting their business started. But what I would notice is that we always needed to start with the inner work. And so that's another reason why I created Soul Sanctuary, is because most of the women who show up to me as a client or in this group are heart-centered creative entrepreneurs or women who have a mission. And they are often women who like you said, or they're trying to do take all the action and do all the things and build the business, but inevitably have to come back to the beginning and do the soul work. So I feel like my intention for Soul Sanctuary is we're going to start with the soul work. We're going to dab a whole lot of soul, and then we're going to put in a whole lot of strategy, because it's the inner game is where we have to, that foundation has to be the inner game, has to be the inner world, because otherwise we build a structure that won't stay. It will have to fall eventually. And we've just launched, this is our second month, but just already seeing them dive in and connecting deeply and giving them a space to connect deeply and hold it sacred. That's why I called it sanctuary, because I really wanted this to be a sacred space where they could leave the outside world. When they come into these group calls, this is their sacred time. And that's the energy that we hold there. And so we it's just exciting. I am really loving it and already kind of seeing the vision of how it can grow and continue to serve more women in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm just in it day by day, just doing it, loving them and creating.
And the fact that you launched this in probably the hardest year that so many people have gone through, it's like, would you have ever expected that?
You know, I was thinking about that earlier. And again, going back to my design, I feel like that is part of who I am. I respond. And, you know, when I was thinking about why I even started my business in the first place, like it really, part of it was this deep desire to use my gifts in the way that I was created to use them in the world. But it was also out of a deep need that I could see in the world that I was called to show up and serve, to help with, to respond to. And I think just noticing when COVID happened this year, that's again how I showed up. My first reaction was to respond to a need. And so for me, there wasn't a whole lot of thought process around, this might not be a good year to do that. Like, what are the trends? What are people saying? You know, like, mm-hmm. I honestly thought, you know, what am I seeing when I was having clients come to me and even new private clients come in, and I just kept seeing the need over and over and over. So I asked myself, okay, how can I respond to this in a way that I am gifted to? Like, what are my gifts? How can I use, you know, and also I have to say just it has been building for a long time. So the timing was naturally right. It's not that COVID hit and all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to offer a group program. You know, it was literally like
steps.
Over several, a couple of years of responding to the call of my heart and how I was being called to serve. And it so happened to kind of coincide with this year, everybody being asked to take a great pause, right? And in the pause, I really feel like that gave women more space to say yes, to step back and go, wait a second, I'm no longer so busy that I can't tap into what are my thoughts, what are my feelings, what am I done tolerating? And when we were kind of forced to take that pause, they were more able to respond to their own needs and the call on their heart and step out of the normal day-to-day. So that's what I've found. And that's really now looking back on that in times of crisis, that is the way that I feel like I show up. I respond in that way. How can I serve? How can I help? What is the need? And how can I bring my gifts to that need? So it really was a combination of divine timing and
trust in your gut.
Trust in my gut. And this is how I show up in the world. And that's okay. And that's you know, it's embracing that, I think.
So true. And I feel like what you said too, you're like, I didn't sit back and say, is this a good time? Who else is doing this? How are they marketing it? They're just, you just saw the need and you did the thing. And I feel like that's where we almost self-sabotage or like talk ourselves out of good ideas mm-hmm. or don't ever start the business or don't ever launch the program. Like,
yeah, yes, absolutely. There's so many things that can stop us, right? The fear, all kinds of fears that come in, or is this a good time? Will people say yes? And, you know, and I would say learning over the years that I need to be called to something. If I don't know what I'm called to, then if I just have kind of a blank, drawing a blank is like I don't have a call or I don't necessarily feel anything in a certain situation, then I know that it's time for me to continue to marinate on that and continue to let it unfold and reveal itself to me.
How do you go about marinating on something like that?
I think it's a process of being okay with waiting. Okay, we're not taught that that's a good thing.
Right? Yeah, who crafts time into their schedule right. to wait? Like, everyone hates waiting. Yeah. There's nothing worse than a microwave minute.
Yeah, yeah. We're taught we need instant gratification. And I think it's another part of learning to understand how you process and how we each process differently. And gosh, there were so many times early on in my career where I thought, I need to know now. I need to know where this is going. And I just realized over time, and I think that comes with experience, that's not how I work. There are some people whose design is to make very quick decisions. And I realized that's not me. Even with this group program, you know, I call it kind of a divine download of paradigms and truths that really are the backbone of the program. And those were shown, given to me almost 2 years ago on an airplane. I was journaling after a retreat and kind of downloaded these truths. And I remember thinking, what are these for? Like, okay, this is awesome, but what should I use these for? What do I teach? Do I teach them now? Do I incorporate? You know, really my mind came in and started trying to figure out the how. What do I do with these? And I just didn't have an answer. And there's the waiting part, is when I come to that place now, I understand, okay, I'm just going to let it be with me. I'm just going to let these live with me for a while. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I just let them live with me. And I continued to take action in my business. I continued to move forward. I continued to show up in the ways that I was called to show up. And every once in a while, I would go back to them and just revisit them and think, okay, and I'm, you know, dialogue with spirit. What are these? What would you like me to do with these? Mm-hmm. What are these for? And eventually when the group program began to reveal itself based on what my private clients were working on, I saw that these were the backbone. These truths were what would support the entire program. And so it was a process of letting them live with me for a couple of years. Not that I was sitting back and doing nothing, but letting it be what it would be over the course of feeling into how will these support where I'm being called right now. So it's a lot of letting go of needing to know right away and allowing.
Isn't that just a lesson we can all take from 2020 right now? I'm like, oof, the waiting and just needing to know, and especially for all of the planners out there and listening, mm-hmm. that yeah. is some really, especially yeah. when you almost choke out your own plans by gripping so tight to them and the expectations that come along with that and the timeline. And it's like, I think over 2020 personally, and even just what you're saying with the 11 truths that you had come to you, like opening your palms and your hands and saying like, okay, what do I do with this now? Mm-hmm. Instead of like clenching white knuckle and just yes. being like, I got to do something now before I forget or before someone else does something like this or anything like that. You just
yeah,
marinated
exactly.
on it.
Well, and it's that, like you said, I love that analogy and I use it often of holding it lightly, not tightly, because mm-hmm. when we hold it so tightly, nothing else can come into it. We can't, if it's not able to breathe and grow and kind of show us itself, because we're holding on so tight, right? So it's like, for me, I think about that, like letting it breathe and knowing that, and it gives me comfort too, that to know that if it has come to you, it's come to you for a purpose, and it in trusting that, like it's not going to fly away. It's not going to be taken from you. It was given to you for a reason and a purpose. And so to know that if you can let go of holding it so tightly, it will show you.
Easier said than done, but yes, absolutely.
Absolutely easier said than done, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Man. I feel like this podcast was even that for me. One day I'm like, I think I'm supposed to start a podcast. I don't know what this looks like. And here we are, sitting here, talking about it, doing the thing. And it was because I didn't choke it out and I didn't try to force it right away. I was just like, when the time is right, it's going to happen naturally.
Yeah.
Because the idea is planted, the seed is there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens from here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It takes just taking the step, right? Just stepping out towards the inspiration, seeing what happens, and letting go of perfection.
Oof.
Ooh.
How do you, would you call yourself a perfectionist?
I hear this a lot, recovering perfectionist. I see that as someone who's become aware that they were striving for perfection and is now allowing themselves to be imperfect. I definitely think I've healed in many ways from trying to be perfect. I was never a type A kind of go, 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 go type person. The perfection for me definitely came in the form of just outwardly taking in what others thought was perfect and trying to fit into that. Mm. And so I often couldn't celebrate fully who I was or my gifts because there was still something not quite right that I was always trying to fix, usually an outward part of myself, like my body, or trying to be perfect in that way. And so I always tell my clients, you know, that's really, perfection can be a distraction from your true power. It really is such a distraction, right? And, you know, the over the years, just really working to see when that would pop up, and as soon as it did, work to release it. You know, because I realized that's not where my power is. That's actually shutting it down. So, yeah.
Especially, too, when you're trying to be something that you're not. Like, you're really just trying to, like, jam a square peg in a round hole. And you just end up more frustrated in the end because you're like, this isn't me. Mm-mm. How did I get here?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. Or this is only part of me. You're only seeing a sliver of me.
Mm.
You know, that's what I always felt like. You could see a sliver of me. The rest I was continuing to try to perfect before I showed you. And it's just, it's not a good way to live.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Would you say that becoming a business owner just kind of took that whole thing and just threw it out the window and was like, you can't do this perfect? Like,
absolutely. Well, becoming a business owner, I think, just in every way shows you what needs to be healed, what you're working on, where you're being stretched. And, you know, I think what in the very beginning you had asked, you know, what did I really have to work through when I first started? And I think one of the things was, you know, first starting out, and I think a lot of people deal with this, like, I don't know enough to speak my truth. Like, who am I to say that? Who am I to? And also the frustration of seeing someone doing something that you are inspired by, and that ache, that longing. And I used to think, oh, I hated that feeling, because I thought, well, I would see someone doing something that inspired me, and I would want to already be there.
Mm.
Right? Or I would look at them and think, how do I get there? How should I do it the way they did it? But what I learned over the years was that what you see in someone that inspires you is often already something you possess.
Ooh, that's good.
Right? It is. And so it's just that I didn't know that yet. I didn't know that there's a part of me that was recognizing myself in seeing that, right? And the more, and I think it's so important to share that with new business owners, so you don't get stuck in the, how do I do it like they did it? But how can I get lit up by seeing them in their gifts and trust that if I'm seeing that, I recognize it in myself. And that is so, I wish I would have known that sooner.
That's awesome.
I also don't think we're taught to celebrate our gifts. You know, I don't think that from an early age we're taught to really celebrate our gifts. We're taught to be, you know, humble or don't be too this about what you're good at or whatever. But it's, I think that does a disservice to us. I think learning to celebrate our gifts could actually be one of the greatest things we ever learn as a little one, and that it's okay. It's okay. In fact, you're designed to be in your gifts. That's how you're created to be. Everything else is the opposite.
Seriously.
Right?
Is that, and you're a mama of boys, so would you say, is that how you parent?
Absolutely. I try. I mean, absolutely and perfectly.
Yep. You're human.
I'm human.
We're all human.
I'm human.
Yeah.
But definitely, it's funny, my oldest, he's taking AP psychology, and he said they had to take a quiz the other day, and what kind of parent are your parents? And there was like three choices. And I honestly, I can't remember. One of them was authoritarian or authoritative. One was like maybe disciplinarian, and one was permissive. He said only one, him and one other child chose permissive.
Oh my goodness.
And I thought, well, okay, there's good in that because, you know, I feel like we're always trying to teach our kids not to do something or be something because that's what you're supposed to do. And I feel like that's where in our parenting we are very much open and try to teach our kids like the best thing you could ever do is become who you are designed to be. And especially with one of our son's struggles, and he has some things that he's dealing with. And just over and over again, I've been shown as a mother to release any expectation or outward inclination that he's supposed to be any other way. When you release that and you're just like, you show up to, I'm here to help you be who you came to this world to be, no matter what that looks like, there is no box. There is no box to fit into. Once I grasp that and keep grasping that as a mother, I can continue to hold that kind of space and that kind of acceptance and unconditional love for them to step into. And that was definitely a learning process for me. And I just kept visiting my own journey too, to see the parallels there. Of it's not so different for him. His struggles may be different than mine, but very similar in that we're all here to just uncover and peel away the layers of what we're not so we can get to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's hopefully what I'm doing as a mother.
That's awesome. And not only do you do that for your kiddos, but you're doing that for yourself along the way too. And you're also doing it for your clients. And you do it for other coaches too, because you coach coaches.
It's such a gift. I was thinking about just the concept of living our design, because we are in the group program. We're really focusing in on activating your soul purpose and what does that look like and how do you do that and what allows you to do that. And, you know, I think about all the different careers I've had and starting out and working in TV and then interior design and being a consultant in the diet industry, like so many varied different things that I've done along the way. But if I look back and kind of see the thread that ran through all of them was creativity. There's just this need to create, this creative spirit, and to connect deeply with others. And each one of those attempted careers didn't quite hold a space for me to express all my gifts. So then I would move on to the next thing. Back then, I thought that was, you know, somehow maybe not such a good thing. Like, well, okay, so I keep jumping around from all these different careers, right? But all of them were me expressing a part of myself. And then when I finally got to coaching, I realized that I was able to take all the gifts and bring them into one place. And that's how I knew I couldn't not do this. That once I found this vehicle to connect deeply with others and create curriculum and be in deep connection and teach others and help others how to do that, then I had found that all-encompassing way to be in the world that I was designed to be. And I see that in so many different ways that I was showing up as a little girl. And I think that we all can if we look back. There's something about spaces and seeing the beauty that I just always was inherently, that was a gift. It could have been an old rusted out car in the middle of the field, and I would get my little shears and things and go to work to try to uncover it to find its beauty. And I feel like I've been doing that over and over and over in some way, and I'm still doing that to help people kind of uncover what's keeping them from their beauty and their gifts. And so it really is fascinating when you can go back and have someone guide you through that process to uncover what's already in you. It's not out there somewhere. It's already there. It's just covered.
Mm. It's almost like a beautiful form of therapy. Like, it really is the closest thing to therapy I would put, because someone's walking you through the heart work mm-hmm. and the journey, instead of maybe you realizing that you have to uncover this beauty, or you've been frustrated because you're not showing up as yourself or your full capacity
yeah.
or potential. And someone just, instead of sitting there and being frustrated of like, where do I even start? You're like, let me walk you through step one. Like, yeah. let's first understand who you were as a child, and then step two, or like you're walking them through this journey, holding their hand through the whole process, instead of sitting there frustrated, where do I start?
Yeah, it's an expectation that you're supposed to do that on your own. Like that.
Who can like, do any of that?
Right. And when you think about it, it's like the most important thing you could ever do to me is be who you came to the world to be. And so why would you try to do something like that on your own? Maybe because you think you're supposed to, or you need to, or you should be able to, or any of that. But I think we're created to be in connection. We're created to be witnessed in that way. And in that way, in that vulnerability and being witnessed and being heard and being seen is the process, is part of the journey. When I was thinking about how my community has inspired me or supported me, that's probably been one of the most transformative parts of my journey, is investing in teachers and guides and coaches who took me on the journey, who, you know, and opening up to and asking, who are those teachers for me? Who are the right ones for me? And then seeing them come into my path. That has probably impacted my journey the most. Is asking for that for myself, you know, walking the walk, walking the journey, taking that journey, going as deep as I'm willing to ask my clients to go is number one, I would say, thing needed. I could never ask a client to go somewhere that I'm not willing to go. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. There's so many, like you said, we're not meant to do this on our own. And there are so many business owners that are investing in their business and investing in growth and investing in their team, or investing in redoing their building or anything like that. But they forget to invest in themselves. And so being able to walk that journey with a coach or a mentor mm-hmm. or someone to just pour into you, because if you're just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and nothing's pouring back in, and doing that like heart work.
Yes. Yeah.
That's called burnout. And we know that all too well.
It's true. And I definitely saw that when I was business coaching. I was, like you said, in the form of burnout, in the form of, wait a second, how did I get here? This isn't even what I, you know, maybe we were following a desire of someone else or a limiting belief or trying to prove we were something. So we built this great business, but we get to the top and we're like, wait, no, this is not.
What have I done?
What have I done? What have I built?
Building a business that runs you or doesn't lift you up or.
Yeah. Yeah. We're following the breadcrumbs of someone else's desires and ending up in the wrong room. That's kind of how I see it.
Yep.
You know, it's like, so it's now it's like going back and like, what are my desires? What are the calls on my life? What are my gifts? And what are the soul wounds that are keeping me from moving towards them? You know, that's a big piece. Really, honestly, I would say that was most of my journey, was taking the time, well, taking the time, but also then it was necessary to heal kind of the emotional wounds and the soul wounds that I'd collected that needed to be healed before I could really fully move forward. So it's definitely a journey.
I feel like entrepreneurship uncovers those wounds faster than you would ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And unless, like you said, start with that soul work, you're just pushing it down. And when that stress hits or that, what am I doing? Or I built something I don't love. Mm-hmm. All of those things just whoof, like ripping off a Band-Aid. It's like, here's that, all the pain you've been hiding from or uncovering. And mm-hmm. in times of stress, I've seen myself, I'm like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I need to press into this. Immediately calls Laura. Immediately dials your number.
Yeah. Well, because one thing in your business, you know, is being seen, putting yourself out there and being seen. And if it's hard to be seen, there's so much information there. Like, why is it hard to be seen? What's the belief there? For me, for a long time, it was, I didn't feel safe to fully shine in my gifts, because growing up, I always felt like I needed to kind of dim my light, because there was a belief that if I were to shine, I would take away from someone else. Mm. And so when I first started my business, that was the work that I had to start out doing, was letting go and healing the wounds from that, but also rewiring that belief. And it took some time to feel safe to be seen. And I had a lot of judgment when I wasn't able to get on Facebook Live or do the video or the thing, because I didn't feel quite safe to be seen. And I think there's something for understanding that and giving yourself the space to heal. Just keep going. Keep feeling it, healing it, and showing up again and again, because that's what will help you heal it, is to keep showing up to it.
And I feel like that naturally becomes more natural mm-hmm. as you keep doing that work.
To go back to my why of even wanting to help women to step out of patterns of shame and shoulds, then I have to remember that to be seen is going to allow them to receive what they need to receive in order to do that. And that becomes bigger than my fear of being seen.
Your why is always bigger than your fear.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you're thriving, when your why is bigger than your fear.
Yeah, it's what moves me out of inaction, my why. I mean, if I go so far as to think about my why for starting this business, another part of it is just seeing the women in my own family line not realize their gifts, their brilliance. And the pain of witnessing that and also just wanting to create a different experience for the women that I would nurture and come in contact with. I can't change things for anyone else, obviously, but it became so important to me to realize my dreams and to be in my gifts. I wasn't okay with anything else. And it became really important to me to do that work, to continue to spread something different, to show women that it's okay. You don't have to continue to pass that on. You're safe. It just became my greatest desire. And, you know, I was thinking about it. It's like what breaks your heart and really lights a fire in you. And that was witnessing women in my family line be stopped by shame and different parts of not embracing all of who they were and not feeling like they could. So yeah, that's definitely part of it. I think that definitely informed my why, my purpose.
What advice do you have to the listeners that are sitting in that space right now?
Just connecting into, first of all, what you feel called to. Yeah, I feel like even if you don't know where that's leading you, if you just allow yourself to close your eyes and ask yourself, what am I being called to right now in my life? You don't have to know any other answers. I really feel like if you can just become aware of that and then go from there. Even when you're suffering or you're in a really hard place and you're just like, how am I going to get through this? Letting yourself focus on that one thing. You know, what am I being called to right now? And how can I allow myself to show up in one way, one action, one step forward? I would say that's where I would begin. Everyone has something they're called to. Now, whether we feel like we can move towards it is another whole conversation, but start there.
Yeah.
It will show you what's stopping you. It will show you where the pain is. It'll help you locate yourself in the journey.
I think sometimes as entrepreneurs and just driven souls, we sit back and we plan and we make big dreams and we plan towards those dreams. And again, back to like the choking it out, white knuckling on those dreams. But like, then you look at your life today and you might not be living in that space or fully, or the phrase when you were talking earlier, I'm like the phrase as an entrepreneur that for some reason it's catchy of fake it till you make it. And it's like, if you're not being yourself, your authentic self, and showing up in that space, then you're just faking it to be somebody else. But that's great advice to move forward just personally and professionally.
I don't think our purpose will ever ask us to sacrifice our health and well-being.
Yep.
Right? Yep. If you're truly in your purpose in a healthy way, I feel like that will be feeding you in some way, nurturing you, supporting you. And so that's a great way to notice if you're really in your purpose or if it's something else.
We always say too, does it fill your cup or drain your cup?
Exactly.
Plug.
Yep.
Come to the Fill Your Cup conference. But it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you've found to fill your cup as a mom and business owner and friend and wife and all of the things that you do?
Yeah. Well, I think it's honoring my unique design. So when I say that, I think everyone's different in what they need. You know, for me, I'm sensitive and, you know, for me, having body work is a must for me. I don't think that's true for everybody. So I really feel like it's letting yourself understand and get to know your needs and then allowing yourself to receive. To ask for what you need, to give yourself what you need. For me, it's a lot of alone time. And that can be hard when you have children, but it's not impossible. I think nothing's impossible. It just takes getting creative. So for me, it's, you know, it can be going for a walk up in the trails, 30 minutes. I can make that happen. It was harder when they were little, but still, I got creative. There was always a way. And I just had to allow it, trust that I was worthy of it, and give myself what I needed in the way that I needed it, not what someone else told me to do or that I saw someone else doing, but to honor my unique needs and my unique energy.
That's amazing, because I think, too, with all of the information on the internet and through even podcasts and courses and all of the things. It's like, here's six quick tips to take care of yourself and live your best life, or, you know, thrive as a business owner. And it's like, that looks different for everyone.
Yeah, it does. I mean, some people get so much energy from going out with friends, and that fills them up. And if that's you, then create space for that. That's part of your self-care. So if it's like me, knowing that if I'm with a lot of people, if I'm teaching, I'm totally in my flow, and in my, then after that, I know that I'm going to need to go recharge. And that's okay. It's like, I'm okay with that now. I used to think, why am I like that? I don't like that. But now I'm like, that's me. How can I nurture that? So I think it's allowing yourself to nurture yourself in the way that you need it. And just letting yourself be where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, like for me too, as far as being a mother and a business owner, like my kids are at an age now where my twins are 12, my oldest is 15. And I really feel like I just have this deep desire to really just be with them, like be present at this age, because they've moved into this new territory of not being little anymore. You know, especially my 15-year-old, but my 12-year-olds feel like they just made that jump, you know, from 11 to 12, it's a big jump. Mm-hmm. And so allowing myself to do that, allowing myself to create space to just be present with my kids, because that's part of my purpose. It's not a side gig, right? We were just talking about that on my group call. It's like your purpose is not going to fit neatly into a box. It includes many things. And, you know, so for me, it's like being a mother is part of my purpose. Where do I give myself space to just be in motherhood? What does that look like? And not perfectly, not that I'm going to be lit up by it every second, but, you know, what is my purpose in my role as mother?
That's so beautiful. Aww. And the fact that you walked that journey and are walking other women through it. It's almost like you got that gift and experienced that gift. And then you're now turning around and giving that and paying it forward to other women. And then they will then turn around and share that knowledge and wisdom with other women. And you're changing the world. One heart at a time.
Wow. One heart at a time. That's really a magical part of coaching and working deeply with other humans in that way, is that mirroring universe of, oh, of course that's why this person has shown up in my path. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Mm. It's just almost like a little, what do you call it, God wink?
Oh, yeah.
A reminder, and just that mirror, if you will.
Yeah. There's been so many times where, because I've really loved mentoring younger designers going through this process, because you just have to be a couple steps ahead of someone to start mentoring them.
Yeah.
Not the same with coaching, but mentoring, just a couple steps. And so it's been really cool to have, I think I've almost learned more from them through mentoring than I have from mentors, my personal mentors, but learning from both ends of people in front of you and behind you, of when they just drop nuggets of knowledge like that, or God winks. And it's like, why did you say that? Why did you say that that way? Like, how did you know that I was already like leaning that way? Or you asked something specific, and it's like, oof.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So much. And I think when you said that, it made me think too of just the group that I'm leading. Everyone's coming in at a different point on their journey. So, you know, some people may have been working on healing for years. Other people are just starting. And I think there's such a beauty and a benefit to that, because we are able to learn and be inspired by and mentored. And also just, there's so many lessons we're learning from being in different parts of our journey. And I find that to be so valuable, so valuable. So sorry if that got off of track, but it just reminded me of mentoring and being in different parts of the journey.
Yeah.
But also as a coach, like I never see myself, I really believe the coach and client are on this same level playing field. Like, there's never a time where coach is up here and client's down here. It's to me, it's more of a, let me take your hand and walk you through this. But it's never a, I know better than you. Mm-hmm. I think the client always knows what's best for them. And I trust that. Yep. I always hold the client capable and trust that they do know what's best. I'm just here to help them uncover it.
We all always know what's best for us. We just don't do it. Like, why is that a thing? But I love that. And then you become that accountability piece too that is really lacking in, for some reason, in sometimes our own lives too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I want to talk a little bit about your future vision for your business.
Okay. So future vision for the business. I think it's just continuing to evolve this group program for sure. Like, I really feel like I'm called to continue to take this material and that I'm creating and just continue to let it grow. So in the ways that it is meant to grow and to serve. And so if that looks like creating more retreats from the material and maybe even creating a bigger space for more women to come in next year. So it just, I really feel like that's kind of where I'm headed, is to grow that group and those retreats that go along with that, as well as my private clients. I definitely deeply, deeply value the one-to-one work. I do feel like that will always be an important part of my business. It's so needed. And oftentimes it's a combination of doing group work and having that one-to-one every once in a while. And so, you know, I just continue to serve heart-centered, mission-driven, creative women to really be in their gifts, show up how they're designed, you know, that to be lit up in their lives and to be leading and loving from that place. That's where I'm headed. I think the community that I'm creating is definitely a community of women who are reclaiming their divine feminine courage. What that means to me is tapping into their divine calling and spirituality and being supported and led by their intuition and a higher power, as well as creative. Like, what's that creative spark within you, and how can those two things really move you forward in your life? I feel like those two elements are hopefully where I'm creating a community to go, to draw from. So they're creating from that place and not from a place of, I'm not enough. I need to prove myself. I need to do this. I should do this. But they're showing up strong and courageous because they're drawing from their inner wisdom and the call on their heart, and they're trusting and they're allowing themselves to be held. I think that's important.
When I first originally started my business, much longer before we, obviously way before we met, and she would say, stop shoulding all over yourself. Yeah. And I was like, I love that.
Yes.
If you were to leave our listeners with one piece of advice, what would you want to share with them?
Just trust that you're here for a purpose. You have been given gifts and ways of being in the world that you have every ability to realize.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for coming today and
for sharing
your heart and wisdom. And
my heart loves to share with your heart, Amber.
Just full,
anytime,
full heart overflowing. You pour into me, and mutually, I'm sure. I love getting to know you, and you inspire me. So thank you for being here.
You inspire me.
Where can our listeners find you?
So if you're looking at where to find me, like, website, lauraleelife.com, beautifully designed by you.
Thanks.
Instagram is Life with Laura Lee.
Yay.
Thank you for creating this podcast.
Yay. Small business, big heart. So excited.
Perfect name.
Hi there, Amber here. If you're loving the show, go find that little subscribe button on your podcast app. This will ensure that you won't miss a single episode. Until next time.